My first guest in this edition is Frank Gaffney, president of the Center for Security Policy. He also served as Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration and is the principal author of the book War Footing. He joins us today to preview the president's trip to the Middle East, and of course a major speech from the president on June 4th is just a couple days away now. Frank actually joins us for this discussion from Israel, and Frank, it's always great to have you with us.
It's my pleasure as always.
You and I have talked before about the president's trips overseas, one to Europe and one to Latin America, in which you were quite critical of the way the president characterized previous American decisions and actions, essentially apologizing for American actions over the past 8 years. What do you expect in terms of Obama's visit to the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and other places?
I worry, of course, that there'll be more of the same. This is an audience that he has been speaking to since he came to office. It is one that he's made clear he considers to be a very high priority target for his efforts to have a new dialogue, as he puts it, to engage the Muslim world in a different way than his predecessors. And he is, I think, likely to once again reflect their sense that the United States has been in the wrong, has been performing in ways that are harmful to the interests of Islam, has been insensitive or at least inadequately respectful. And I think he's probably going to concede all of those points and then try to use that as a springboard for telling them how things are going to be different from now on under his administration, how they'll be not only more respect, but more respectful language, which raises some very serious questions about freedom of speech, by the way, but also policies, not least towards the country I'm in right now, Israel, that I think will probably once again signal to our enemies weakness, even submission, and signal to our friends, notably Israel, but not just Israel, that we are unreliable as allies. And I think if in fact that's what comes out of this this speech in Cairo, it will be a dark day for the United States.
Frank, it seems as though that Obama has a special focus on Iran. We're seeing today that American diplomats around the world are encouraged to invite their Iranian counterparts to 4th of July parties in order to foster better relations. And we're also seeing that Obama believes that Iran has the right to civilian nuclear power, which is the contention that the Iranians are making right now as the point of their nuclear program. What do you see as the likely fallout from him making these direct overtures in order to beef up relations with the Iranians?
Well, again, I think what the likely takeaway on the part of the Iranians to these kinds of gestures and initiatives is further proof that the United States is weakening, that it is now certainly not going to interfere with the realization of the mullah's ambitions to have not just nuclear power, by the way, but nuclear weapons as well. And I think the idea of inviting them to 4th of July parties will be treated mostly with contempt and perhaps ridicule.
Frank, in terms of the more moderate Arab states like Egypt, like Jordan, some of these other countries that are just as concerned about the Iranian nuclear situation as a lot of other people are, what's the right way for Obama to engage them on this issue, and what's the wrong way?
To the extent that they are genuinely moderate or at least willing reliably to line up with us, and I'm not sure either is true, I think the way to proceed is to say, listen, we are going to form up an alliance against the Iranians. We've realized that the engagement program has in fact been tried. It's been tried repeatedly for years now, to some extent by us and certainly by our allies. Our European allies have been trying to romance the Iranians into giving up their nuclear weapons programs. And the only thing that's accomplished, Greg, is it's bought time for that program to be realized. And by the way, don't take my word for it. That's what the Iranians themselves have said. And I think the Europeans now recognize that to be true. What I think we have to do at this juncture is to make clear to not just our putative friends in the Middle East, not our obvious friend Israel, but these others that you've mentioned, that we are going to stand with them against this Iranian threat. We're not going to be hoodwinked into buying still more time for it, and we are going to take steps, if it isn't stopped, to stop it. And that we will try to do that in concert, not just by ourselves, but we will do it, because I think at this point, you and I have talked for many years now, really, about how desirable it would be to avoid coming to blows with the Iranian regime, because the people of Iran, I think, are generally on our side. They hate this regime. They like us. They don't want to be pariahs in the world. But the regime is not going to be dissuaded from realizing its ambitions, and therefore I think this is a better course of action at this point. If we can't topple them through non-military means, we're going to be, I'm afraid, reduced to having to use military force. And as I say, I think if we could do it in concert with others, that would be preferable.
Frank, as we mentioned at the outset here, you are in Israel. What is the mindset of Israeli officials right now, given the state of the Iranian nuclear program and the threats repeatedly made against their country by the leaders in Iran, about just how dire their situation is?
Greg, I think the people of Israel and their leaders are profoundly concerned, and properly so, about the Iranian menace. They recognize it for what it is. I think now across the political spectrum, namely an existential threat to the Jewish state. I think they are determined to do something about it. They clearly understand that their likelihood of success, in fact, perhaps their only chance of success, is doing it with our help and support. And to the extent the Obama administration seeks to withhold that, or perhaps even interpose physical impediments to it, you know, perhaps even threatening to shoot down Israeli aircraft if they are launched and flown through Iraqi airspace, which we control, I think that this will be, again, a very, very damaging event for U.S.-Israeli relations and for the free world more generally. I hope, I pray it won't come to that. But I think the people of Israel who just spent the day in a part of it, at least, in a civil defense drill, nationwide civil defense drill, are reflecting the gravity of their situation, and I think they're looking to us for help that they certainly deserve and that we should be affording.
Frank, is it the drill that brought you to Israel? What sort of work are you doing there right now?
No, I principally came from a wonderful event honoring one of my colleagues, Carolyn Glick, who is a senior Mideast fellow at Center for Security Policy and also a columnist for the Jerusalem Post, who received a high distinction here called the Guardian of Zion Award for 2009. And I was in the audience cheering her on. I've had some terrific meetings with senior Israeli officials and managed to sneak in a little sightseeing on the side. So it's been a great trip in a wonderful country, and it reminds me so vividly, Greg, that the fight that Israel is in is our fight too. The people who are trying to destroy Israel make no secret of their fact, of their belief that it is the little Satan and we are the great one. It is, in other words, a speed bump on their way to getting at us. And so for all these reasons, moral, religious, strategic, I think we need to reinforce our relationship with the Israelis, and I hope that that will be a message communicated loud and clear tomorrow in Cairo by the President of the United States. And more to the point, that he needs to desist from what he's been doing of late, namely this great and growing effort to coerce Israel into making territorial and other concessions to the Palestinians that are, again, I believe, no more in the interest of Israel than that of the United States. For that matter, I don't think it's really in the interest of the Palestinians either to condemn them to a repressive government, either of the strain of Hamas or of Fatah. But that's what the administration has been doing of late, and I pray he will not persist in this much longer.
Frank, you've probably seen the report in our last 60 seconds here that in negotiations with Palestinian leaders in recent days, Obama has reportedly said that any sort of Palestinian state would include Jerusalem, or at least a portion of it, as a capital. Is that a non-starter, or is that something the Israelis are willing to negotiate?
I've spent most of the past week in Jerusalem, Greg, and this is not only offensive and completely out of the question, I believe, for Israelis, but it is an affront to all people who value the holy city of Jerusalem and appreciate that if it were in fact made into the capital of a Palestinian state, It would be the end of access to the holy sites there. It would be a return to the kind of conflict that afflicted that city for decades until it was liberated by the Israelis. And it would be, I think, a breach beyond repair with the people of Israel. And I hope that the Obama administration is going to see the light on this. I fear they won't. These are the sorts of things that would rupture one of our most important strategic partnerships. And I fear grave consequences will flow from it.
Well, Frank, we'll certainly be paying close attention to the president's speech in Egypt. Thank you, sir, very much for taking time out of your trip to the region to speak with us.
My pleasure, as always, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Frank Affney is president of the Center for Security Policy. He's a former assistant secretary of defense, principal author of the book Warfooting, joining us from Jerusalem. This is Dateline Washington.